We're going to go outdoors right now. You know, unless I think unless we get any lightning, we're going to try to get on the field and get some work done. So we'll be on the practice field. Yeah, Mike's works with our defensive line. You know, was a outstanding coach. I actually worked with him when I was at New Hampshire. Then he went on to Akron. Was a special teams coordinator at Boston College. Real sharp, intelligent. Does a great job in terms of helping Jerry Azzanero with the defensive line. Just really lucky to have him.
What's the rotation for Friday's
game? We haven't discussed it. We'll talk about that. It really depends on what goes on these next 2 days of practice. So if we. You know, you may get an injury today, so it doesn't help us to say, hey, we're going to go this, and this, and then all of a sudden you lose a guy or two in practice today. So we'll see what the depth is and start to talk about that tonight.
Do you have to change anything about the way practice goes today, or is it going to be a lot of the same stuff we saw yesterday?
Put some galoshes on and go play, I guess, basically, is it. A similar format from a practice standpoint. If we have to go inside, we have a contingency plan for that, but we're going to try to stay outside. If we stay outside, it'll be the same exact thing. You know, there'll be one-on-ones and then special team work, 7-on-7, then all the group work, another session of special teams, and then situations at the end. So it'll be the same format as long as we stay outside.
How did you meet Bill Belichick?
When he was coaching here and I was up in New Hampshire, and I used to come down and visit practice. So probably my first time meeting coach. And he was very gracious. He's always been really gracious to the local college coaches. So, you know, they were always open for us to come in and watch and visit when, you know, they'd start camp. Obviously, in the NFL, they start camp a little bit earlier than the colleges. So you get a chance to come down here for the, you know, that last week of July and watch a couple of days of camp. And at that time, I think they were still down at Bryan College. So, but always been very, very gracious and always great with his time in terms of being able to share football knowledge. Not really. You know, we're here to kind of go to work. So, you know, and it's a little bit of ways away. So a couple former players of mine at New Hampshire I saw yesterday at practice. So that part was good. But it's really a business trip for us, getting ready to, you know, prepare against a really good team, giving ourselves an opportunity to test ourselves against an outstanding opponent. So, you know, we're kind of looking at it from that standpoint. Mac did a nice job yesterday. You know, it's just a matter with Mac of just getting more comfortable getting out there, and you know, you can tell he's running around and doing those things, but it's still not going to be a, you know, you're not instantly, hey, I got it back to where I was before. You know, it's still a, you know, getting a little bit more familiar, a little bit more comfortable with what we're doing. You know, even though he was in the building every day, he was rehabbing, so he wasn't on the field or working with us from a scheme standpoint. So I think he may have confidence in his leg, but he's still trying to make sure he acclimates everything that we're trying to do from a offensive standpoint, processing the terminology, getting lined up and playing. So, but every day I think you see him getting a little bit better and better, and I thought he had a good day yesterday. Wow, we're going old school now, huh? Just a great player, local kid out of Bellingham. You know, I won the Walter Payton Award as the best player in 1AA. He's actually coaching at the University of New Hampshire now. Smart, athletic, gifted, one of the best competitors I've ever been around. You know, he was literally kind of, you know, as a four-year starter there, was literally, you know, in the second, third, and fourth year, was literally like a coach on the field. Just a great understanding of football, but awesome person, great person to be around. No, it's not important. I mean, that's where we grew up. It's your family. I mean, that's what I think everybody does that. I don't know many people that, you know, move away or something like that. I mean, there's always a place in your heart where you grew up and that you're part of. So, you know, I'm fortunate that I get a chance to go home and spend time. My family still lives up there. So had a lot of really, really good friends that I grew up with. And I think that's what that's foundations that we're all built upon. So. Well, it has to be both. You know, if you're not the starter, you know, because you only have 46 guys active on special teams, you're going to have to, you know, your backup receivers, your backup running backs, your backup tight ends, your backup linebackers, your DBs, they all got to contribute. So, you know, he's on the kickoff return team. He's played gunner out wide on the punt team. You know, there's a couple places where, you know, his size, you know, obviously being a bigger guy can – could be advantageous to us. He's taking some reps on the punt return team, and that's a battle for all those guys. If you're not in the 1, 2, and 3 at the wide receiver spot, you got to be a great special teams player. You know, I think evidence of that is what Brad did when he came in here last year. You know, I think we got Brad after game 10 or game 11, but before he even set foot on the field as a receiver, he made an instant mark for himself as a special teams player for us. So, you know, that's what I think he's battling with. But he's done a nice job. The one thing about Mo is from last year to this year, I think he's grown in leaps and bounds, and he's continuing to make strides. So, you know, when they make those decisions when you're getting down to cut-down date difficult, that's a good thing, I think. So I'm really happy with where he is right now. We're just going to try to do the same thing, and then it just depends on how it – you know, how wet it is, or, you know, we can make adjustments while it's going on. So,
Jim, what did you see from your defense against Brady as compared to last year, and 1 year farther along than
this? Oh, well, what we hoped, I hope. I mean, you hope you grew over the course of a year, whether in all aspects, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams. So, you know, last year when we played in this situation, I think we were 10 days into camp. So, you know, to expect us to perform yesterday like we were going to do a year ago, I don't, you know, we would be way behind the eight ball in that terms of, but it's the same thing we noticed as the season went along. I think our defense grew as the season went along last year. You know, we were obviously better at the end of the year on defense than we were when we started. So, you know, it's there's a maturation process that's going on. I think to have some solid leaders back, you know, like Connor Barwin and D'Amico and guys that have played a lot of snaps under Billy already, you know, have a real good understanding. And then when you add someone like Malcolm to go along with Kerry and Fletch and Nate Allen on the back end, you know, you got someone that has a real good understanding of what we're trying to get accomplished defensively. So, you know, we're thankfully way ahead of where we were last year at this time. So,
you're going to have some tough compensate for guys like, you know, Matt Harkins and other guys that are not getting as many reps as you normally get
when you get practice. It's just the byproduct is you're going against better competition. So we would always take this opportunity to do it. So, you know, it's just part of the nature when you have a lot of numbers and two teams are going to get together. You know, you're not going to be able to get everything accomplished that you'd like to get accomplished. We'd love to get more reps, but we're also not going to be in the field for 4 hours. So, you know, it's as we say, don't count your reps, make your reps count. So, you know, when you're out there, take advantage of them. But, you know, your answer can't be, well, I'm not playing well because I didn't get enough reps. If you only get 3 reps, make those 3 reps the best reps you can. So. Well, Brandon wasn't with us last year. You know, we didn't get him till after the cutdown date, so then he added to the practice squad. So I think a lot of that development, never had been through an off-season program with us, never had been through a training camp with us. So I think Jeff Mayle's kind of in that same boat. Brad Smith's kind of in that same boat. You know, guys that we picked up, Najee Goods like that, we didn't pick up Najee till the cutdown date from Tampa Bay. And then, you know, so they missed the benefit of all those guys we talked about missed the benefit of a whole off-season program. They missed the benefit of preseason training camp, and I think what you're seeing out of all those guys, Najee has really stepped his game up at linebacker. Brandon has, you know, I think it's just a situation where they understand what we're trying to get accomplished. Now, last year they were probably playing catch up, so to speak, and now they're not playing catch up. So, you know, they're getting a chance to really show what they can do to contribute. So,
you mentioned Brad Smith. He seems to typify the kind of player you really like offensively because he can do so many things, can play so many places.
Mm-hmm.
It
helps, but I would argue that misconception isn't, you know, if you give me a guy that's just great at one thing, I think we can try to fit that person in too, you know. But when you have someone that's the third receiver or the fourth receiver or whatever that has that multiplicity in them, it really helps, you know. And I think when you're trying to round out your roster, the versatility really at the bottom of the roster is the key thing. You know, when you look at Brad, he's a four-core special teams guy, you know, is constantly making tackles on the kickoff cover team, plays wing or punt or personal protector on the punt team, can return kickoffs, you know, is on our punt return team, and then also play multiple positions on offense. I think it just helps, you know, that the depth, especially on game day when you only have 46 guys active, to be able to have somebody that can play a lot of different roles and also back up in a lot of different roles certainly helps. And, you know, he's also a former quarterback, so he's your emergency quarterback on game day. You know, it's a huge plus, but I think really for that bottom part of the roster, I think it really becomes essential.
In Lane Johnson's shoes, what kind of development have you seen in this game? And would you like to mix it in with the game just so he's ready to come with it?
No, right now we got to get Allen ready, you know, and so we haven't really talked about that. The one byproduct of it, and I talked about it last week, is that he doesn't rely on Todd to tell him what's going on, and I think he's really kind of taken some ownership in that second group because he's really the veteran in that group, so especially with Julian down. So, you know, it's given him an opportunity, I think, to grow, especially in the mental side of the game, and we've seen a lot of a growth from him from that standpoint, and I don't think if – When he does come back, when he gets an opportunity to get lined up next to Todd, it's like he's going to forget what Todd looks like, you know. So they work closely every single day in practice, but I think a little bit of that is overblown. The big thing for us is making sure we're getting ready for our first game against Jacksonville, and we got to play four games without him, so we got to get Allen as many reps as he can. So. Now, well, yeah, in a way, but it's not like I didn't like our energy before. I think we got a bunch of guys that love playing football, love practicing football, love the film aspect, the meeting room aspect of it. So, you know, I can't fault this group at all when it comes to energy, in terms of what they're doing. But I think, you know, I think our guys did that when we were at the NovaCare, and I thought our defense really stepped up the competition. Every time we had a situation competition so far, our defense has kind of handled our offense from that standpoint. I think they've ratcheted up from that standpoint. So, you know, we were a lot more competitive this year than we were a year ago because we were kind of feeling our way through things. So it's good to be around. I think that it's, you know, you don't just turn it on and off depending on who you're playing. I think you show up every day and try to compete as hard as you can no matter what the situation is.
Some of your I'm sorry. What you've seen out of bullpen and why you –
No, you always need to have three centers. You know, and we didn't have anybody on the current roster that could be a center. So if Jason were to go down or Julian were to go down, where do you turn? And you know, we didn't feel in the group of guys that we have there that we had another center, you know, and that's a critical position. It's not like – I think your guards and tackles can be somewhat interchangeable. There's some athleticism parameters that kind of fit into that. But, you know, the move from guard and tackle is a lot easier than going into center because you have to make all the calls. You have to – you know, really be in control of what's going on out there. So, you know, we tried to identify another center prospect, and David was available. And there's not a lot of them out there. I think one of the reasons we wanted to move on him early is we didn't think he'd be around very long if we didn't move on him early. You know, and now you're trying to piece someone in there. So he's done a nice job with Julian being out. He's smart. He's grasped what Jeff is teaching up front. You know, he's a real coachable guy in terms of being able to change because some of the techniques he had were not what we were teaching, and so he's really adapted very well to that. So, and then unfortunately Julian being out for a little bit, it's helped that we got someone like him in there. And then also the young guy we got out of Oregon State, Josh Andrews, has done a really, really nice job too. So, you know, we feel a little bit better about the center spot, but you know it'll help us, and we'll feel a lot better when we get Julian back. So. Yeah, I think you're just bound by what the facility you're at holds, so that there's not much you can do at the NovaCare, and I know there's some city limitations in terms of how many people you can put in there. So just you put me in a parking lot, we'll go practice. That's not a big concern of mine. So.
Does it add a dimension, do you think?
Yeah, it's a great dimension. I'd like to play on a highway, too, and have a lot of crowd around us. But just it's not – I think about a lot of things, but that's not a lot I think about. What I think about is where are we going to practice and what are we trying to get accomplished that day. So. I don't know what the trend is. I mean, the rules haven't changed from the standpoint of, you know, you could do it, and maybe it's cyclical. You know, you watch Andre Reed go in the Hall of Fame, and the offense that he ran with the Buffalo Bills was, you know, as exciting and outstanding as you get, you know, with Jim Kelly, a quarterback, and Thurman Thomas, and that group of guys there. And you can go back to Sam Weish and Boomer Esiason, and they were doing it a long time ago. So, you know, I think sometimes there's just cycles that go through. You know, there's a lot more being done at the lower levels, at the high school levels, and at the college levels. So the people coming up, I think, have a better understanding of it maybe. And that's where, you know, they can share with their coaches on how they get that stuff accomplished. So, but the game's very cyclical. It'll change and go a different way. You know, there was a time when no one ran the 3-4 and everybody was a 4-3 team, and now it seems like a lot more 3-4 teams are in existence. And it's a game of ebbs and flows, and you'll, you know, But I think everybody's just trying to figure out how they can try to stay ahead of it and what's the new trend. So. Well, I go back to our first day of practice. I thought he did a real nice job at Franklin Field. So it's not, you know, let's wait till Tuesday. You know, I thought he had a good Sunday and Monday with us. So, you know, but it was what we expected out of Nick. I mean, that's what we've grown accustomed to from him. So. He can do everything better. I mean, I know we get that question about all the guys, and I give the same question all the time, but until someone plays a perfect game, you know, I think that's what we're all striving for. But he can do a better job in pass protection. He can do a better job in short yardage situations. He can do a better job in eliminating negative plays where maybe the hole is not exactly there, but second and nine is better than second and 14, you know, where all of a sudden every play he's trying to run has to be a home run. I think we're seeing that. There's a lot more patience in him in terms of understanding that you have to pick and choose. When he has those God-given gifts where he can make people miss. But, you know, sometimes it becomes a – when you put us into a negative situation on second down, that's not a good situation. But I think he's worked at it. I think he's in better shape this year. His conditioning has really upgraded from where it was a year ago. So, you know, you kind of see that on the practice field in terms of what he can do and staying on top of it. You know, he can do a better job as a receiver coming out of the backfield. I think the addition of Darren has helped him from that standpoint. He's got a guy to learn from. He's a better route runner right now. So I think the great thing about him is that he wants to be that. I don't think he's complacent or happy in terms of where he is. I think hopefully he thinks that last year was, you know, just him scratching the surface in terms of what his potential can be. But
two more guys. He thinks he can gain 2,000 yards rushing.
I don't care. I really don't care, and he knows that. And I've told him that. All we care about is, are we winning football games? So we've never been driven by individual statistics and he understands that. But if you ask him if he'd rather win a football game and run for 50 yards, I think he'd be the first to tell you that, or run for 200 yards and lose a football game. He'll tell you he'd rather run for 50 and win a game. So. Well, you're watching a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. So I think everybody, when you get a chance to watch someone that's as good as they are at their craft, that I think you can learn a lot of different things, you know, and that's a unique thing when you get to participate in situations like this, is that, you know, when you're not in, what are you doing? And I, you know, Nick's a student of the game, and for him to get a chance to watch Tom up close and personal in terms of how he interacts, what he does pre-snap, what he's doing post-snap, you know, a lot of times that you don't see on film because the camera's not on him, I think anybody can garner anything from that. And when you get a chance to see someone as special a football player as Tom is, I think it's a credit to this whole operation in terms of what we can get accomplished, not only in the work we can get, but when you're watching other people work. So that's a positive for him. So.
What are our next coaches?
That I love the rim.